Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to finish up the book of Luke. It's been a great adventure for us. And just so you know, tomorrow, there's no morning prayer tomorrow, right, because we have the conference. And then Monday, if you are doing the 30-day fast, we'll break our fast on Monday, okay? And then Monday we'll have it, but from then, Tuesday, it's Tuesday to Friday all the way throughout. We'll go back to our morning prayer schedule as normal. Okay, Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb, and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now there were Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. And these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all these things that had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" They stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also, some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." And he went in to stay with them. And it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst, but they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his feet, his hands and his feet. And while they were still could not believe it for joy, they were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened his minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. Amen. Amen. Luke 24 actually is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and probably my favorite chapter in the book of Luke. because there is so much there's so much meaning in the text and so much application for us that we can still very easily find. And so in Luke 24, Jesus is risen from the dead. The women come, and there's probably better depictions in the other Gospels than in Luke. But the writer of Luke adds this passage of the road to Emmaus. The other Gospels don't record this. And it really gives us a window into a lot of things. And we'll talk about some of these things today. So we are introduced on the road to Emmaus. We're introduced to these two guys. It's Cleopas, and we don't know who the other guy is. But most likely, they were part of the 70 that were sent out in Luke chapter 10. Most likely. There's no proof of this, but you know, they seem to have a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, in that way. And so these guys are on the road, and look what they're doing, right? They're on this road, and it says that they are discussing, right, with each other. Later on, the passage will say that they start arguing with each other about things that happen. Now, they have left their calling behind. Look at it. The leader of their sect has just died, murdered, right, in fact. And so these guys are leaving Jerusalem. They're going back home, probably to their farms or their villages or back to their work, back to their livelihood. They're leaving their calling behind. And the mode and operation by which they leave their calling behind is they discuss it and they're arguing with each other. You know, this is really, in a lot of ways, the picture of the modern church, right? You know, when things happen in church, this is what's going to happen, right? You'll have some people that go to pray, right? They will seek God's face. You have other people, probably like 90% of the people, they'll just want to talk about it, right? They'll just discuss with each other. They'll start arguing. Did you hear what Pastor Sam said? Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. You know, did you hear what that did? You know, instead of going, Jesus, Lord, what are you saying in this situation? Right? What are you doing in this regard? Right? Such a contrast, right? And it's so sad that only a small percentage will actually go seek God's face about a matter. You know, other people, they're so content in just talking about it all the time. I know that's a lot of it is a product of our culture. You know, too many 24-hour news stations really bring this kind of damage to our culture, right? You know, everyone's talking about everything. That's all they do is talk. You know, and it becomes a point where eventually, you know, that especially in this kind of situation like this, you don't need to talk. If you need to talk to anyone, you need to talk to God, right? Forget talking, discussing, you know, conversing, arguing with each other. There's no point in this. You know, the real key is you should be speaking to the Lord Jesus, you know, and get his mind in the whole thing. You know, if these guys just simply stopped and began to seek God, there's no way they would have left. You know what I mean? There's no way that they would have been on this road. But this is the mercy of God, right? And this is, you know, and I do draw parallel with these two guys as representative of the church. Now, that, I mean, that's not the most common application to make, but I make this application because I see so many parallels. You know, and so these guys, they're leaving their calling, they're bailing, and instead of praying, they're discussing. But Jesus Christ is so merciful that he comes in the midst of their bickering, right? In the midst of their conversing, in the midst of their arguing, in the midst of their discussion, right? And he reveals himself to them. So, a thing goes on. He introduces these guys are talking, right? And so he says, hey, basically, yeah, what are you guys talking about, right? What's going on? You know, and Cleopas is you know, I mean, kind of offended a bit and says, hey, man, you know, it's basically, where have you been, you know? You know, have you been living under a rock or something? Don't you know what's happened in Jerusalem? You know, and then he says, well, what are you guys talking about? And then this is what he says, right? He says, Jesus, verse 19, Jesus the Nazarene, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word, in the sight of God and all the people. Okay? So, did they not love Jesus? According to that verse, yeah, they loved him. Did they respect Jesus? Yes, they respected him, right? Did they recognize that? Yes, the people respected them as well. Then why did they leave? You know, why did they abandon their calling and go away? You'll find that in two verses down. He says in verse 21, and if you have a pen, circle this little phrase. It says, but we were hoping, right? But we were hoping. You know, why people backslide, and the reason why Christians have trouble in their relationship with God and all these things? As a pastor, I don't necessarily think it's a love thing. Obviously, yeah, there's some knuckleheads that, you know, they love sex more, they love money more, and, you know, they love popularity more, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you'll get that crowd as well, right? You know, the soil the vines came in and sucked away and whatnot, and you'll get that, right? You know, but most Christians in the church, the reason why that they'll fall away or have trouble in their life, it's not necessarily they don't love God. They love Him. It's not that they don't respect Him. They respect Him. But it's this simple phrase, they were hoping. At some point in their journey, they expected God to do something, you know, or they thought God had promised them something, or something in that matter, and it didn't come through. And so somewhere along the way, they lost trust. They lost hope. You know, and these guys, right, again, they love God, they respected Him, they revered Jesus, all those things. They know He was very popular amongst the people, but somewhere along this stage, in these last few days, they were hoping for something, and it didn't come through. And they lost their trust. In some part of the journey, right, they lost their faith in God. Right, and another, I guess an easier way of saying that is that they lost trust in God over some area of their life. And when that happens, that opens a door that leads to a demise. You know, I've spoken to numerous people that, you know, were on fire for God and, you know, all these things. I mean, we're talking about relationships on Sunday. You know, I've met so many people. You know, men and women, just committed believers. I mean, intercessors, you know, tons of spiritual gifts, praying people. And as they get older in life, you know, you see their standards get lower. And then they start dating knuckleheads and then marrying knuckleheads. And, you know, and it's basically the whole idea of they lost trust in God over that area of their life. They were hoping that it was He. You know, and I mean, that's just a little example. It happens through all things. A lot of times it happens through parents who don't get healed. You know, they were hoping that, you know, oh, my dad would be healed, but he wasn't. You know, and something happens in their heart and it gets shut towards God. Inside, deep inside, if you talk to this, they still love God, right? They may not understand the fullness. They still love Him. They revere Him, but they've lost that trust. Right, that they've lost their confidence in God over that area, you know. Or it could be in terms of work and family. I mean, all kinds of different things. The enemy really works in all this stuff. And it says they were hoping that it was He. You know, oh God, I was hoping that You would do this, Lord. I was hoping that You'd do that. And in some way, we lose hope. We lose confidence in God to do the very thing that He said that He would do. You know, we lose confidence in some area, you know, in God to do the very thing that He said that He would do in that area. You know, and so we fall and we stumble and we lose our faith and we backslide and we leave church and we leave community and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these things happen in that way. And that's what happens here in this place. And so it continues on, right? And notice what He does, right? He begins to speak to them about all these things that happened. It says, you know, slow of heart, you know, was it not necessary, verse 26, for Christ to suffer these things? And then, you know, I said before, if I ever wanted to inject myself in the Bible, right, you know, I would probably like to do it right here at verse 27. Because He says, and from the beginning of Moses, with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself and all the Scriptures. I suggest to you, this is the greatest Bible study ever on the face of this planet, right? In verse 27. He opens up the Scriptures to them and explains everything. You know, I always pray, right? I say, God, give me a verse 27 moment, right? That just open up the Scriptures and just explain everything, right? And He does, you know, right? But, you know, not in one shot here. I don't think my mind could really absorb it in one shot. And then verse 28. So, How can we be restored? So we've lost faith and confidence. How does that restoration take place? Very clever. Look at verse 28. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, stay with us. Right? Look at this, right? So here's Jesus. Here's Cleopas and his friend. And there's a fork in this road, right? And so these guys are making a left turn, you know, and going somewhere. And Jesus is there, and he's kind of like, you know, he's just kind of walking. And, you know, he wants them to ask him, right? It says he acted as though. He didn't want to go farther, but he acted as though he was going to go farther. Why? Because, see, Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He'll never go beyond what you allow him to do in your life, right? And he needs permission. You know, he just needs for us to say, hey, Jesus, you want to stay a while? You know, this is a simple truth, friends, okay? Listen very carefully. You get to determine the level of intimacy that you will have with Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't determine that. Even God himself doesn't determine that. You personally get to determine the kind of relationship that you want to have with Jesus. You get to determine the kind of intimacy that you want with the Lord Jesus Christ. He acts as if he doesn't want to go farther. He doesn't want to leave your side. You know what I mean? He wants to be right where you're at. And he wants you to simply to say, Jesus, you want to hang out? Hey, we're going this. You want to come with us? Us, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, a glimpse of salvation history written in one phrase. You know, he wants us just to say, Jesus, you want to spend some time? You know, you want to go to this place with me? He's forever looking for that invitation, right? Now, don't get me wrong. He's always there, right? This is part of his, you know, attribute of being a deity, right? He is omnipresent. You know, but what we're talking about is manifest presence. We're saying, God, don't just merely look upon me and hang around with me as an observer. Come manifest your presence in my life. Let me feel you. Let me know you. Let me sense you. You know, and so he acts, and of course, does he say no? No. He joins him along. You know, he breaks bread with him. And then look what happens. It says, and as he breaks bread, he blesses him, and their eyes were open. They recognize him, and then he vanished, okay? Now, look what happens. Now, this is what happens when you say, Jesus, you want to hang out with me? The two guys looked at each other, and I actually named one of my ministries from this passage, right, years and years ago. I had a ministry called the Fellowship of the Burning Heart, and it came from this passage. And what these guys said, basically, they looked at each other and said, hey, were not our hearts burning within us as we're walking on the road with him? I mean, they looked at each other and says, man, I'm on fire. You know, are you on fire? Man, my heart is burning. I'm in love. There's passion flowing through my life. They look, you know, he's gone, right? But the effect of allowing Jesus to walk into your life, the effect, right, of asking him to go along the road where you're going. And they looked and I mean, they're perplexed because it didn't come from them. You know what I mean? And I think they were so perplexed because maybe even they may not even know they had the capacity to love in this way. And they looked and said, man, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? You know, and at that moment, what did they do? They returned to Jerusalem. You know, this is a picture of repentance, right? Repentance means turning away and going the other way. And they left their calling behind, right? Jesus, by his mercy, comes and meets with them. They lose hope, right? They lose the confidence in God, right? Jesus comes and he explains the situation to them. You know what I mean? You know, and you lost your dad and I lost my mom and all these things happened. Jesus explains the situation. You know, he doesn't just leave you and say, hey, just deal with it, man. You know, he doesn't just stop and say, hey, that's your fault. It's your problem. No, he explains the whole situation. You know, and he begins to give us insight and wisdom in that situation. You know, and then as we ask him, you know, to come in and move along and be with us, right? The next thing you know, the blessing comes. The next thing you know, man, all of a sudden we become passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ once again. You know, and the byproduct, right, of that connection is repentance. They turn back to Jerusalem. They go back and tell all these guys, you know, what's going on and what's happening. And then Jesus comes into the midst of all of them. And just a few things towards the end of 36. There's a lot of questions, a lot of thoughts about what happens when we die, right? Well, there's a few glimpses in the scriptures. And we have what the scholars call our glorified resurrected bodies. Now, this is every one of us, right? We're going to get our glorified resurrected bodies. Which means that, you know, I don't know anyone like food, right? I especially like food these days. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I am drawn towards the Asian food channel these days. I hardly ever watch it, but it seems like when I'm fasting, I'm just perplexed and mesmerized by, you know, by the food channel. So well, that's I don't know why I'm saying that, but that's a whole other thing. But, you know, we get to eat in heaven. It's pretty good, right? We get to eat. We don't have to eat, right? But Jesus, they gave him fish and he ate, you know? That, you know, we can actually touch each other. We can feel flesh when we get to heaven, our glorified, resurrected body. You know, even with that, right, like Jesus, we can walk through walls. You know, I mean, this is, you know, we have a kind of a picture of this glorified, resurrected body, you know, through some passages in the scriptures, you know, that, you know, Jesus ate, we can eat. You know, and the food digests somehow. It doesn't need to eat, but eat, walk through water. We can recognize each other. You know what I mean? And so, you know, when we're in heaven, make sure you say hello to me. And, you know, and I'll see you there as well. And you can come over to my house and, you know, or my little room. You know, that whole thing of the big mansion and stuff, it's garbage, right? Because he says, I have one mansion, you have many rooms. You know, you hear so many of these stories about these people that go to heaven. And, oh, this person got this huge mansion and that. And I said, where's that in the Bible? You know, and so we get our rooms there, and, you know, and we can recognize. I mean, it's kind of amazing. It has nothing to do with what I shared in the passage, but I thought it was just kind of interesting, you know, these things that, you know, that come along with us. And this is what we can expect to have, you know, in that, right? And you think about this, the application, well, a little application of that is you think about all those people that didn't get healed in this life. They get healed in heaven, their glorified, resurrected body, you know. You know, in heaven, my mom's got a perfect stomach, perfect liver, right? You know, she doesn't need it anymore, but it's still perfect, right? This is the answer for everyone who's sick on this earth that doesn't get healed, right? There is a glorified, resurrected body for them, you know, if they trust Jesus Christ for their Lord and Savior. I mean, that's good news. And so when Jesus said, by my scourging, you are healed, right? He wasn't kidding. We're all going to be healed, you know, in this life or definitely in the life to come or both, you know, hopefully. And so so he comes and then at the end, right, and then he gives them a launch into, I want you to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. But that's not what I want to share so much today. So let's close our eyes today. Maybe you are one this morning, and in some area of your life, you have lost confidence in God to do the very thing that He said that He would do. No matter what it is, no matter what the reason or whatnot, He'll explain it to you. Don't worry. He will explain it to you. But the one part, though, is that even though there's confusion and all kinds of stuff, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is right next to you. And what He wants to do, He wants to just pour Himself over you. But He needs an invitation. So I'm going to ask you today, as He acts as if He would go farther, that you invite him. So Jesus, hang out with me in this area of my life. Just watch him do what he does best. Right, there are two pearls that Jesus Christ gives the church. A passion for himself and the ability to feel and receive his affection. Just let him pour that over you today as Chelsea leads us in a song of worship. You know, I said earlier that it's really us who determine the kind of intimacy that we'll have with Jesus. You know, so let's pray right now. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the churches here in Hong Kong and in Asia. Let's pray that the people of God, we would quit discussing, we'd quit arguing, we'd quit talking, and that we would start praying. And as we pray, that we would cry out to God for an intimate relationship, for deeper levels of knowledge. But there's knowledge, not knowledge that puffs up, but knowledge that changes us. Let's pray for our heart to really love God, to be passionate for Him. And let us, as a result of our asking God to come into our lives, that the result would be we'd look at each other and say, man, my heart is on fire for God. How is yours? Let that be the byproduct of this heart of going after Him. So let's pray for deeper levels of intimacy in our lives and through our churches. Let's also pray, starting tonight, our inner healing conference is in the midst of us, and there's a lot of stuff. It's going to be a busy weekend, so let's pray. Let's pray for our conference today, three sessions tomorrow, and then our two Sunday services. Let's ask the Lord to bless Dr. Kraft, and you know, he came in early yesterday morning. Hopefully he's rested up by the time he gets here tonight, and let's really pray for real grace over him to teach and to share, and the Spirit of God would just brood over us and really meet with us in a special way throughout this conference, and that we would be healed. Right? It's for freedom that Christ set us free. And if we're free, we should be free indeed. And whatever bondages and things that have been troubling us or keeping us down and for us unable to enjoy this intimacy, let's pray for freedom to really erupt through this conference, this cover. Let's pray also over this weekend in terms of all of our meetings and services. Let's cover our youth ministry on Saturday night, and let's ask God to bless the youth group. And we minister at the Sunday services. Pray for Noah's Ark as well. I think, we have any meetings coming up? You guys have any IP on Saturday? Okay. So let's just cover our weekend before the Lord and ask God to really come and really minister to us in a powerful way. And lastly, let's pray over our building fund and our building search and ask God to provide for us a place of worship and to expand our vision as a church. And let's just ask God to give wisdom to the steering committee. And, you know, there are actually a few things that are really up in the air right now. And so let's really pray for God's wisdom and just God's best to really come forth for us. And let's cover this whole project. Let's go to our member prayer focus, and let's pray for Elkie. Let's pray that she has a deadline this Sunday. Let's just cover her in that. Let's pray for me, I guess. Let's ask God to bless. Let's pray for Lisa. Lord, we bless you. God, we thank you today. Lord, help us, God, as individuals and as a church, to never miss an opportunity to invite you in, God. That we never miss a chance, Lord, to have you involved in things in our lives, God. And we do pray, Lord, for our friends and members, God, that in some part of their life, God, they have ceased trusting in you, Lord. They hope for something, God. And either it was the wrong timing or the wrong request, God, or we may not know, God, but I pray that you would explain it to them, God, Lord, and then draw them to you, Father. Lord, continue to knock on their door, Lord God. Lord, we give you this whole weekend, God. We're excited, Lord, for what you're going to do throughout this time. We pray, God, that there will be a real sense of order here, Lord, in the midst of so many people, God, and that it would just really be a celebration of your love and of the cross, God, that sets us free. We thank you, Lord. We bless you today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The next morning prayer will be on Monday, right? And so we won't see you tomorrow morning, but please enjoy this weekend and come out. And it's packed. We actually gave away too many tickets. And so I would suggest you get on time or else you may be in Noah's Ark in the overflow room. Okay, so that's just freebie because you guys come to morning prayer, right? So don't be late.